Now, Totino's presents WWE Elimination Chamber.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the podcast ring at this time, with a combined weight of 860 pounds, are the new tag team champions, the Super Size Guys. First, representing This Week in Geek and hailing from parts unknown, he is Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Somebody stop the damn match!
And his podcasting partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is TFG1 Mike Blanchard. These two podcasting giants have joined forces in the World Podcasting Federation. This is Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 84. I am one of the Mayhem Mikes. I am TFG1 Mike. Joining me is Mike the Birdman Dodd. God, I can't do that with my voice ever again. Oh, that hurts.
Hey, I would totally do that, but I've got a really wicked sore throat right now. It
really hurts to talk like this because I actually have to push into my throat to do it.
Okay, folks, this is Mayhem Mikes. This is our second episode. This is Geekcast Radio episode 84. This is also going to be this is a giant collaboration between Geekcast Radio Network and ThisWeekInGeek.net. Trying to find a way to shift around and not have it be every other episode of Geekcast Radio, I might actually ask Steve Megatron to see if we can have our own feed. That way I don't have to take up GCR episodes with wrestling. I know people might be interested in listening to this, and that's all going to be great and everything else. But last time we did one of these was 82. We've only had one other episode that was a different topic between then and now, and I've had some family issues come up over the last month or so and all that. But anyway, we are here. We are here to talk about World Wrestling Entertainment. And it's been a pretty interesting time since we did our WrestleMania show.
Yeah, we've had three pay-per-views since then, which is, like, excessive.
Well, they have one a month, and we originally were going to do this once a month and cover each of the pay-per-views. The only problem is the last two pay-per-views before Elimination Chamber honestly kind of sucked.
Actually, I would say Payback was pretty good. Extreme Rules was fucking garbage, though. Holy shit. I had all my friends over. We watched about the first hour and, hour and change, and then we just started playing Cards Against Humanity. Because it sucked that it couldn't even hold my attention.
Jeez.
It was just bullshit after bullshit.
Okay, so we got some quick housekeeping things to get out of the way first. All right, so since our last episode, which was... that was the date on this thing. On April 6th of 2015, we actually had a commenter on that episode on geekcaster.com. Our good buddy, TV's Mr. Neil. Now, I cannot do his sarcasm justice, but I'm going to read you what he said, because I know you never looked at this. Oh my God, Blanchard, you are so wrong about Seth Rollins. He is an awesome heel. He's the best cowardly heel since the Honky Tonk Man, and I love how cocky he is. The night after Mania, he held the belt right up in Lesnar's face and laughed at him. He's great. I never want to see a belt around Roman Reigns' waist. The guy is zero personality, the Superman punch is dumb, and the spear should be banned from any wrestler whose name isn't Goldberg. If Reigns won, you'd have seen the fans throwing garbage into the ring. WWE made the best move they could and could have made given the circumstances, having Rollins come to the ring.
It was a good out. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah. And I went on to explain to Neil why I'm just not a fan of Rollins at all, and I'll talk about that a little bit later here. He also defends J&J. J&J security is also awesome because they're inadequate and therefore funny. Like that episode of Raw that Brock tore them apart while Rollins ran away.
He almost killed the poor camera guy. Yeah,
we got to talk about that. We'll talk about that in a second. He says he doesn't like the authority, but that has more to do with Triple H, and I always hate Triple H. And he says, let me know if you guys ever do a WCW episode. We might have to look into that in the future.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, because since you use my network, we both have access to the same material. And I've never seen anything WCW, so I would do it.
All right, so with Elimination Chamber, as I was watching it and as I was watching Raw the next night after Elimination Chamber, I got to thinking about several things and all these people that used to be singles that are now in the tag division, like Kofi and Big E and whoever the hell else, the third, Xavier
Woods, whatever
the hell his
name
is. And
then Cesaro and Tyson Kidd.
Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, and then you got Darren Young and Titus O'Neil and everybody else. I could have sworn Darren Young was in the Nexus at one point when the Nexus... Technically, the Nexus was kind of like what the Shield ended up being. They were the kind of WWE, I don't want to say gang, but team that came in, destroyed everything, and then eventually just kind of went away. I can't remember where else I've seen Darren Young at all, but I thought it was in there. And it was funny because I wanted to do some research on the Nexus. And we all know Wade Barrett was the original Nexus leader, CM Punk. Yeah, Darren Young was in the Nexus. I was right. John Cena was in the Nexus at one point or another. CM Punk was the new Nexus leader at one point after Barrett kind of went away. The funniest thing about the Nexus is, for the longest time, I couldn't stand, and this was before I even remembered he was in the Nexus, I couldn't stand Mr. Goatface. I hated Daniel Bryan with a passion when the whole Goatface thing came out and the whole Team Hell No with him and Kane, and I just couldn't stand Daniel Bryan. And I completely forgot he started in the Nexus as one of the Nexus members.
That's yeah, he's false. Really come a long way since then. Then,
yeah,
obviously, to talk about what's happened recently, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah,
but one of the things this month that has bothered me about wrestling is, to me, as you said, we're just going to kind of gloss over pay per views. Payback.
We're gonna gloss over Extreme Rules and Payback.
Yeah. To like kind of briefly talk about those. It seems to me, and I had a few people talk about this on my Facebook and Twitter, these are the pay-per-views you can almost ignore because nothing happens. Like, I have been so disinterested since WrestleMania, and that's not a good sign. But then I remembered, oh yeah, this is when people take vacations, take a little bit of time off, because WrestleMania is obviously the big deal. And then when Money in the Bank comes around and SummerSlam, that's when people start giving a shit again. So these are sort of like the B-plus pay-per-views. However, Elimination Chamber, which started out as a house show in Corpus Christi,
yeah,
was probably arguably one of the best pay-per-views of the year. The match of the year so far was in that one.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing, and it's going to be interesting as long as we continue to do the whole Mayhem Mikes thing. You know, we're going to have to do a year-end show where we actually count down or we decide which pay-per-view was the best or the worst.
I think last year the worst, in my opinion, was Battleground. Nothing happened. Holy shit, nothing happened.
I mean, it's like, you know, some of these pay-per-views, like I watched Extreme Rules. Okay, I watched that pay-per-view this year.
Can you recall what happened in it? Because I sure as fuck can.
The only thing I can recall is the Cena-Rusev match.
Oh, with the stupid lights or whatever?
With the lights, yeah. That's really the only thing. I mean, that's really the only thing I can... Like, when you say Extreme Rules, I'm thinking... The
Kings
Hardy
on
Boys.
Fire or something?
No, not that extreme. I'm thinking the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, the Attitude Era. I'm thinking something that isn't what we got.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't think of what was quote unquote extreme about that. I mean, it was gimmicky and it was stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I'm glad to see the Cena Rusev thing kind of come to a conclusion now.
I am so...
Here's the thing, though. Okay, I'm Cena dead. As the U.S. champion is really good for that belt because it makes it look prestigious right now. Rusev having held that belt for so long and defending it more or less cleanly for a while, it made the belt mean something again. And I really like Rusev. I'm really cheesed he wasn't on this pay-per-view because he, like, fucked up his foot real bad.
Yeah. After a while, I mean, it's been, what, 30, 40, 45 years since the whole America versus Russia thing?
I wouldn't go that far.
In general. But I'm saying, like, the Cold War's over. Yeah, the Cold War's over. I'm saying, you know, 30, 40, 45 years, somewhere around, you know, 1908, you know, as long as I've been alive, at least 35 years.
It's been quiet, anyway.
Nowadays it's more of, oh my God, you know, Osama, and oh my God, Saddam, and all
that. You can never get away with pulling off the Iron Sheik today. Because do you remember after 9/11, they had, like, a guy who was basically a terrorist as a heel? And then look how quickly that got dropped. You'd have so many rights groups just bitching, and rightly so. Russia is just the default bad guy, as of, like, Nazis. And I can't see Vince McMahon saying, you know what, give me a Nazi character.
Yeah, no. But see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's been so long since that all happened, and now in WWE, in this storyline, you have a Russian coming in, basically spitting on the U.S. championship and basically saying Russia's better than America, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's Rusev is one of those, I guess he would kind of be a monster character? I don't know.
Like, he's basically this big hulking brute.
He's basically a half-naked, less nutty Bray Wyatt. And I'll talk about Bray Wyatt later. But it's one of those things where this guy comes in, he's undefeated for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and it takes Cena stepping up and, you know, having, you know, see, we all know what Cena's character is. We've known what it is, has been for 10 years, 10 or so more years now. He is the good guy. He is a face, but I hate
Mr. Never Give Up, Hustle, Loyalty, Respect.
Yeah, I mean, I know where you're going with that, and you're not
like
going to fake
Cena.
Me.
Do not get me wrong. He's a hard worker, but my God, is his character just pissed me off. However, though, the latest Raw, last night for us, he gave a really good promo.
Yeah, he did.
Between him and Kevin Owens, I'm like, God damn, when you let John Cena talk, 9 times out of 10, it's usually pretty goddamn good. Because he can really improv and really get the kind of crowd into it. But it's just the fact that, you know, Cena, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. You know he's going to win. You know it. Although, Elimination Chamber, wow.
Yeah, we'll
in fact, during that match, do you remember the cutaway they did to that little girl?
Yes.
Oh my God. I was like, I posted that picture on Twitter. I'm like, oh, your tears make me more powerful. Please cry some more. But that's the thing, though. Like, with John Cena, I think that character, he needs to suffer a big string of losses. And I think they're doing something right with him losing to Lesnar, with him not being the heavyweight champion, holding the U.S. belt, having him kind of lift that up. That's a really good idea. Because it means something again. And you know he's not going to lose it for a while. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a t-shirt. I'm not going to let that go out of style for at least 6 months.
Okay, yeah. Yes, there is the WWE marketing machine, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But it's one of those things where if Cena wasn't going after the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, what are you going to do with him?
He's at
a point in his career now. He is a 15-time champion. You know,
he's not going to really get 16 until he's ready to retire, so he can beat Ric Flair.
Well, or until they decide to release WWE 2K16,
or like some shit like that. I mean, it's going to be something really dumb.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, when he first came up, he was doing all this stuff and every, you know, he was proving himself night after night after night after night after night. And eventually he got to a point where, and I think all wrestlers, most of the good ones anyway, get to this point. You're either in a feud with somebody for the championship, or you're sadly injured and off for 6 or 8 months or a year or whatever it is. You know, they're real. Once you hit the level, like once you pass being a U.S. champ or an Intercontinental champ or whatever the lower championships are below the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, once you reach that peak, it's like you have nowhere else to go because there's nothing higher for a specific wrestler in the WWE. There isn't a masterpiece tier, like the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is essentially equal to what a masterpiece Transformer toy would be.
That's basically, it's the highest. Once, the only right, thing once, higher possibly is when COO. He was the champion and he got to kick the authority out of power. That's
yeah.
Maybe well, you could argue that, but
yeah, but I'm saying like on a day-to-day basis,
yeah, exactly.
As far as getting hit, like, every week we watch Raw or SmackDown or whatever. I usually just watch Raw. I try to catch SmackDown, but every week we do this, okay? We watch Raw and we're like, okay, what are they going to do with John now? You know, what are they going to do with Dean Ambrose now? What are they going to do with whatever now? And once you reach the point of going after the championship, there is no higher, you know, like you said, he would have to suffer a massive string of losses. And really, and I think that's what happened to him. He didn't suffer like 10 losses. It wasn't like my poor Red Sox. It wasn't like a 6-game losing streak here. I mean, he got his ass beat by Brock Lesnar. He beat Brock once, I think. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm just saying, like, he's at a point now where, like you said, they need to do something else with him. And putting him on the U.S. Championship really does bring prestige to that championship because he is an American. He is someone who is going to be a fighting champion. And look at what he's done with the John Cena Open Challenge. It just, yeah.
Although, right. And one of the other things too with John Cena is you have to keep him on TV because mm-hmm. he sells T-shirts. He puts asses in seats. He's not like The Rock who took off for Hollywood and can come back to wrestling anytime he wants because The Rock became a successful actor. John Cena has tried acting a few times. He's done, you know, I think The Marine 1 and 2. He did some other movies here and there. But no, he's not like The Rock.
He didn't do The Marine 2. He only did the first
okay,
Marine movie.
But yeah, but basically, you couldn't take him off TV for 6 to 8 months.
No.
I mean, unless he's, like, in a fucking wheelchair or whatever. And even then, he'd be, like, the Raw GM or something. That's the thing, though. With John Cena, he's got to be so hard to write for. Because where do you go? You hit the fucking ceiling.
Yep.
And that kind of sucks, though, because I see John Cena. He's a great role model. He is so wonderful as a person. I'm not gay, and I would blow him. Because this guy, like, literally, he's like Saint Cena.
Okay, on that note, I think we're going to take a quick break and go to the Elimination Chamber.
You hear the sounds. Fear sets in. The pain. The suffering. The agony. The chamber has returned. Locked inside.
All these teams will be in the Elimination Chamber match for the Tag Team titles.
Two separate wars.
We will crown a new Intercontinental Champion.
One common goal. Elimination. And in the shadows of this monstrosity, what's more threatening? One's pride.
John Cena's the man to beat. Give me your best shot.
Or one's arrogance.
You and I, we are going to fight. But it's going to be on my terms.
Champion versus champion.
Not yours.
And with a lunatic on the brink of destruction.
Ambrose going after Rollins with the entire authority there.
Seth's trying to get away.
Ambrose taking out the authority.
simple assault.
What does the future hold?
He stole a policeman! Can you imagine that lunatic as the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
Tonight, the torture, the anguish, and the despair return. The championship battles and unforgiving challenges arrive. The Elimination Chamber is back.
All right, folks, we are back, and it is time for Elimination Chamber. Really quick beforehand, though, I need to look up and who is the guy? Who is the narrator for these pay-per-view? Like, the guy that says, you know, Totino's presents WWE Elimination. Like, God, I love that narrator.
Okay, to talk about narration and color commentary. One of the big changes that happened this year is they took Jerry off of Raw, they put him on SmackDown, which is a great move. I really like him. And they brought in Booker T. I loved Booker T in the pay-per-view pre-shows where he'd come out and fill in for someone. But a friend of mine has pointed this out to me, and I didn't realize just how true it was until watching the last couple of Raws. You realize that guy speaks every other word is nonsense?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, he's like, oh, look at him, Michael Cole, hot dog taco. And, like, he's like, half the shit he says, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And I don't know, there's just something about, like, there was a great moment last night. He's talking with Paige, and I guess he went off script for a second. Because Paige just looks at him like, It's just, I don't know, there's just something about him. It's just, he's rubbing me the wrong way recently. And I don't know what that is. Then again, JBL needs to be taken into the back alley of some crime-ridden city and beaten mercilessly with sacks full of doorknobs and dog shit. I am so sick of him.
Okay.
Fuck JBL!
First of all, So the whole announce thing, for years, I would say for at least the last 5 years in WWE, SmackDown has suffered because it has had the shittiest announce team. It had Byron, it had all these no-name people. Before, I believe JR is retired, isn't he?
He does some other stuff, but yeah.
He's essentially retired from announcing, but like I remember when it was JR and Taz and like one other no-name person on SmackDown and stuff like that. And say what you will about Michael Cole, okay? Say what you will, but the guy is—I mean, they even call him this now—he is the voice of the WWE. Make fun of his sayings all you want, but Michael Cole really does bring it when it comes to announcing. And, you know, say what you will about his feud with Jerry and all that stuff a few years ago, but it just, as far as an announcer and commentator, Michael Cole really is the glue. Now, I do wish JR and King were the two that were with Michael Cole.
I'd like to see Renee Young work with Cole for a Raw. I really like her.
Yeah, I don't know. JBL, I wish JBL ate his fucking hat.
Yeah.
I really do, because JBL is, why do you have a quote-unquote businessman personality as an announcer? That makes zero sense to me.
Because he's supposed to be, like, the bad guy's voice or whatever, but half the time he just speaks nonsense.
I guess. I mean, I think it's great that they put Jerry on SmackDown because it actually lends some real legitimate... Let's face it, SmackDown has suffered for so long.
That's the thing, though. I used to enjoy SmackDown more than Raw because, mm-hmm. one, it was 2 hours, and two, you'd get some matches you wouldn't necessarily see on Raw.
Yeah.
I always thought it was kind of fun.
That's the other thing, and I know we're not to Elimination Chamber here yet, folks, but we're getting there. We're getting there. That's the other thing with Raw. Like, my buddy, at Bob Gilmer on Twitter, said, actually it's at, at Bob Gilmer. He did a Star Wars pun there. He said, you know, oh, I wish Raw would come back to, you know, being 2 hours. And because the 3 hour Raw is like, there's so much crap. There's just so much crap on a 3 hour Raw. But anyway. So Elimination Chamber, here's how it broke down. Now, we're not, we don't on this podcast, we do on this episode, we do not talk about the pre-show. Like, I don't even watch the pre-show. I watch the main pay-per-view. So the Elimination Chamber folks started off with the Elimination Chamber WWE Tag Team Championship match. This match involved The New Day, Los Matadores, Primetime Players, Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, and the Lucha Dragons and the Ascension. Basically, all the people I don't give a shit about. Like, the tag team division, I just don't care. I love this match. This match was awesome. But, like, on a Raw or a SmackDown or whatever, when they have tag matches, the tag team division just... I don't know. It's just not my thing.
I like the Lucha Dragons a lot. Primetime Players, of all the teams you could bring back... Okay, well, I guess half the guys from 3MB are gone. Los Matadores, I like them. I really do. I think when they get a chance to really perform, they do some really cool stuff. Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, give them a name already. Holy shit, just give them a name. But I guess it's to raise their brand recognition.
Mm-hmm.
The Ascension, they suck. My God, they suck. Honored.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
yeah.
The Wasteland. Like, eat shit. They're actually a pretty good heel team. The thing is, Xavier Woods feels like a third wheel.
He is.
Like, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't have any big skills. He's supposed to be the brains behind the operation. Well, being the brains behind the operation doesn't translate to entertaining TV. Kofi flies. Big E is a strong man. You mm-hmm. have goofy hair. That's not a gimmick. That's retarded.
Yeah.
Have I missed anybody?
No.
No.
Los Matadores. The only interesting thing about Los Matadores is El Torito.
Well, what do you
I mean, El Torito essentially took Hornswoggle's place, which pisses me off, but I'm glad they still have... Forgive me, people. I'm going to be non-PC here. I'm glad they still have a midget in WWE.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. With Los Matadores, it takes a lot to make their matches really good. But when they do, it's great. The thing is, you need to be able to tell them apart more easily.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe give them different colored things. I mean, I guess it's kind of the same thing with the Usos. I mean, I literally have to look at them and figure, okay, Jay's got the tattoo on the left side. Jay's got it on the right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this match was okay, actually. I rather enjoyed this one. It was a lot better than I was expecting it to be. The Lucha Dragons, it sucks they got eliminated, because that would have been cool with them winning. But the thing is, you don't put those guys on microphone to be your tag
no.
team champ. Which sucks, because they're arguably some of the best performers I've seen in a while.
Now, did you know that is not the original Sin Cara?
Yeah.
That pissed me off when I found that out. I
can't say I'm totally surprised.
No, I know, but, okay, when Sin Cara came, with the original Sin Cara, I read his name the other day somewhere, I don't remember what his real name is, but the original Sin Cara, when he came up, it was right when Rey Mysterio was about to leave, because let's face it, Rey, he can't dial up the 619 too much anymore. I mean, he's got too many injuries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm like, okay, Sin Cara, this is going to be the next, you know, Rey Mysterio type, and it's going to be awesome and everything else. And now come to find out it's some other dude that kind of does the same thing, but not really. And I don't know. The match itself, I thought was great. I thought the whole thing with I think it was the Lucha Dragons going up top.
Yeah.
And then El Torito tried to go up top. Like, I thought that was really cool. And all this I could think of the entire time when they're climbing the top of the Elimination Chamber, all I can think of is, Bonesaw is ready! Because Spidey obviously was climbing the cage to get away from Bonesaw. The tag division just... You want to talk about something that needs to have it brought back to its prestige, to its heyday. The tag division really does.
Absolutely.
It really does. Because it just kind of sucks now. It's like...
It's kind of there.
You have nobody in that division that is good on mic. Maybe Kofi, maybe Big E.
Cesaro's not bad. When you let him talk, he's not bad. Tyson Kidd, yeah, ultimately, the New Day is the best people on mic there for sure. Yeah, I could not agree more.
So the next one we had was the WWE Divas Championship triple threat match with Nikki, Naomi, and Paige.
Wasn't bad!
It wasn't bad. It was actually really good. What I'm wondering is are they going to allow Nikki to beat AJ's record?
Oh, absolutely. You will not see a title change hands there until well after SummerSlam, because they want, this is my guess, I'm speculating here, they want to have Nikki break AJ's record as a fuck you to like CM Punk. That's what I think it is. And Vince is that fucking petty. And ultimately, it's going to hurt that fucking division. Because last night, or on Raw, it was there was a title match between Paige and Nikki, right? Cool. Mm-hmm. It fucking won via twin magic. They don't even look alike anymore.
I know.
Like, what the fuck? Is the ref legally fucking blind?
When I saw the twin magic again, I'm like, ooh, twin, but wait. They clear, like...
I mean, different colored hair, different colored... I mean, they have different body types.
Yeah, that's the main giveaway. The different... Because the... Let's face it, you know, Brie Bella is beautiful, but Nikki is, like, the WWE's answer to Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, she's pretty much... She's built a very specific way, designed a certain way.
And they're like, okay, when they first came on, how long have they been in WWE? Was it
8, 9 years?
Yeah, well, a long ass time. Okay, so in the beginning, when the Bellas first came on the scene, they looked alike. The bodies matched, the clothes matched, everything matched, and they could pull off twin magic, and it was awesome. But now that Nikki's gone it's her choice to have augmentation and change and whatever. Yeah,
makes her feel beautiful and comfortable in her body, awesome.
Right, whatever, you know, gets her John Cena. It's just one of those things where Nikki and Brie do not look alike at all anymore.
Well, like, you know what else?
Not even in the faces. I mean, Nikki is like this supposed bronze goddess, whereas Brie on the other side is essentially this this farmer's market girl, is the best way I can put it.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah, she's very down to earth, salt of the earth type now because of being with Daniel Bryan. There was something I saw. This was on the last season of Total Divas, where they weren't sure whether they were going to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is there's a reason why the Bellas are getting such a push right now. It's got to be back. It's got to be. It comes down to politics behind the scenes. And obviously you could say that for like any wrestler. But for here, I see a lot of the whole John Cena thing. Right?
Yeah.
Because obviously Nikki's with John.
Yeah.
And Nikki sells t-shirts. She arguably does. You see more fearless Nikki than you do Brie Mode. A lot of the marketing centers around fearless Nikki and the Bella Twins right now. And I don't understand why they don't push other people like Natalya. In fact, she's reduced to a fucking valet now. What the fuck?
That's ridiculous considering her heritage.
Oh, and she can actually fight. And now, because of Elimination Chamber, any momentum Naomi had gone.
Yeah, no, she's not good.
Sucks, because she's one of the best divas in WWE right now.
Yeah.
And they they treat their divas like shit unless they're NXT. Now, there are some, arguably, some really shitty ones in NXT, but there's some really good ones, too. But to have the women's championship belt on a Bella, see, Nikki looks great. In fact, I said this to my wife the other day. She shakes her ass better than a stripper. Believe me, I know. And Brie, she's a very finesse type fighter. She's very quick. She's very agile, but she can fight. Nikki, rack attack, fuck you. Paige, when you let her fight, is great. When she's not doing this weird pseudo lesbian crap, it's awesome. Natalya.
I think they've essentially dropped that, though, haven't they, with Paige? I mean, they dropped that since AJ dropped out. But I mean, the whole pseudo-lesbian stuff is essentially
gone.
Give it
time. Don't bring it back. Give it time.
Well, yeah.
Alicia Fox, when you let her go, she's not bad.
What has she even been on in the last month?
I think she might be doing Superstars for all I know.
I don't watch Superstars or Main Event. Like,
I'll watch it if it happens to be on, or if I'm really, really bored. But yeah, for me, it's Raw usually or SmackDown. But let's go through trying to think who. All
right, next one is now. Originally, I thought.
What I'm gonna say about it.
Okay, well, are you talking about Nikki or the next match?
Oh yeah, basically the whole Nikki thing. Although, I will say, I was surprised how long it went on for.
Yeah,
it let them have a good fight.
Yeah. So the next match after the Divas Championship match, which Nikki won that. Now, originally, like, when the KO Kid came out and debuted and was like, I'm not out here to accept your challenge, John Cena. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to tell you I will fight you on my own time, blah, blah, blah. I thought they were setting that up to have a title match at Elimination Chamber. And maybe I misunderstood it because, you know, Kevin Owens is like, oh, I'm already champion. I'm NXT champion. I don't need your U.S. title. But I thought the U.S. title was going to be on the line. So when I started watching this match, I'm like, wait, the U.S. title's on? Okay, that works, I guess. That's one way to have John keep the belt. So yeah, champion versus champion, NXT champion Kevin Owens versus U.S. champion John Cena. By far is the most refreshing match I would say since WrestleMania 2007 maybe 2006. Like seriously, like this is the most refreshing match I have ever seen Cena be in with someone that. You know, this kid keeps saying he's been around for 15.
The one they had this year with Orton and Rollins at Royal Rumble was pretty good.
Yeah.
But not this good.
Yeah, no, not this good. You know, Kevin Owens kept saying, oh, I've been in this business for 15 years and blah, blah. I'm like, I've never heard of you. Who the fuck are you?
Ring of Honor, that's where he hung out for a while.
Okay, well, and that's, I'm not denying that he's been in the wrestling game that long. I'm just saying, because I don't watch Ring of Honor, this is my first introduction to this person, this character, and I've read up on him, and I'm caught up on where he's been and stuff. But it's like the way he's promoting himself, saying that he's been around for 15 years, blah 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 blah. Like I just don't know if that's the proper way.
I think it is because now they're drawing attention to NXT. In fact, that's WWE's trick. They're acknowledging NXT because they know the stuff on there is 10 times better than what they're showing in prime time. Like, it's ridiculous how much better the matches are. Mind you, the crowds suck in NXT, but the match quality is easily 10 times better. Like, Kevin Owens, I think he's in some ways a better heel than Seth Rollins. He's way better on mic, that's for fucking sure. And I love how he sells this. It's almost this cockiness, sarcasm, but delivered completely straight.
He is the next. He's okay after, and we'll talk about this later, but after you get Dean and Roman out of the way, Kevin Owens is the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I think that'd be fucking great.
He really, really, can you, okay, put it this way. Have him be NXT champion for as long as they want until they get the whole Dean storyline out of the way, and if Roman ever does get back into the championship fight, get him out of the way. Have Kevin Owens go from being NXT champ to WWE World Heavyweight champ. No US belt, no Intercontinental belt, no nothing. Just have him go from one major championship to the, like, basically take him from the one higher level in NXT to the immediate. I mean, obviously, he's going to have to make up his as he goes. He's going to have to prove himself. But just take him from one championship to the other, like, that would be just amazing. But the match itself was so good, and I didn't even care that Kevin was basically basically repeating John. I mean, he's essentially copycatting John Cena the entire match. You know, they both delivered, you know, AAs. I think it was on a Raw that he actually did the You Can't See Me thing and made fun of John. I think it was the Raw before Elimination Chamber. You know, and the pop-up powerbomb. Let's talk about the pop-up powerbomb, because as soon as I saw that, you know what I thought of? It's Captain Insano. I love Captain Insano. The first thing I thought about was the fucking Water Boy.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
And Adam Sandler talking about Captain Insano's power bombs, because they had, I think in that movie, they had Mean Gene from WWE doing the interview with that. But anyway.
I love how sold each other's moves, though. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. They looked devastating. They looked like they were giving it their all. And there were just some really great spots in that match, especially watching Kevin reverse some of Cena's crap. And it was just, it was cool. And just the fact that that win, nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's thinking, oh, it's Cena, he's going to fucking win. The best part of that match were the crowd reaction shots. As I mentioned in the beginning, there was this little girl who looks like she's about to burst into tears. And then it cuts to some Hispanic guy. And it looks like he's holding a rosary. He's like, I'm going to pray for you, John Cena. And it was fucking great. And then Owen's like, yep, I'm awesome. See you later, dickhead. It was just, wow. Like, it was literally just such a fantastic, energetic match. I haven't been that excited for a match since probably, if I went back into the last year, I might say when Brock Lesnar destroyed Cena at SummerSlam. That's the last time I remember getting that excited for a John Cena match.
The last time we had a reaction like this at the result of a match at the pay-per-view, 21-1.
Yeah.
That was the last time we had a crowd reaction like this. Like, oh my god, what just happened?
Yeah, like,
no.
Yeah, they're
way.
Like, who is this guy? He just beat Cena? Yeah, it was so great. I mean, it was not. Even Rusev didn't get this big of a reaction. Like, it was like that was something. That was something to see.
So, after that, the
Joe fell
match,
off a cliff.
It. You can basically fast forward 20 minutes, folks, after the champion versus champion match, because Neville versus Bo Dallas is the stupidest match on the entire pay-per-view. Like, this is what I was talking about earlier in this podcast, where I said Raw needs to be cut back down to 2 hours to cut out crap like this. Because, okay, sure, I get it. Neville just came from NXT. They want to build him up. Build him up against somebody else. Have him become
both,
a tag team.
They're both former NXT champs. Because Bo Dallas was NXT champ for a while.
Oh my God,
the thing
that,
is, Bo Dallas is Bo Dallas. You're not an interesting character, first off. Your moveset, I hate that running Bo Dog shit that he does. Like, fuck you. And just Neville is 10 times the athlete Bo Dallas is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That Red Arrow thing, like, it's like Neville gave God $10, and he's like, oh, yeah, so can I defy gravity? Yeah, sure. Like, yeah. Watching this guy fly. You thought Kofi could move? Holy sh! My God, I'd love to see Neville and Kofi go.
That's what I was just going to say.
My God, that'd be so cool.
That's what, let's see. If
and Rey Mysterio, if you can convince him to come back. But yeah, that'd be so cool.
If Kofi wasn't in New Day, that's what this match should have been. It should have been Neville versus Kofi instead of Neville versus some idiot.
That would have been great.
That would have been amazing. The next one was the Elimination Chamber Intercontinental Championship match. You had Ryback, Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, King Barrett, R-Truth, and replacing Rusev,
Mark Henry. Of everybody you could possibly pick.
Like, yeah.
Welcome back to Texas, I guess? Because you're from here?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it was. But what I'm really wondering, because of what happened on Raw after Elimination Chamber, I'm really wondering why Big Show wasn't chosen.
I think he just wanted some time off, and I'm kind of glad they didn't put Big Show in there. But they could have put someone like Jack Swagger in there.
What the hell happened to him? I haven't seen him.
I think he's mainly doing Superstars and Main Event right now. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If they wanted to give someone, you know who maybe I think would have been fun to put in there just as like a laugh?
Heath Slater?
That or Zack Ryder? Because why the hell not, right? I mean, give him a chance. If you're going to put fucking R-Truth in there, clearly you don't give a fuck. So just throw it to woo-woo-woo and let Zack Ryder go in there with his broski boot. I love that guy, by the way. He's amazing on Twitter. But, it was kind of shitty even watching him lose in the fucking pre-show.
Yeah.
But still.
The one thing about this match that I absolutely loved, and I can't wait until he has to actually change his appearance because of what he's going to be doing later.
Oh, the whole Sheamus thing?
For those of you who don't know, and I'm sure other podcasts on the GCRN will be talking about this, Sheamus is going to be Rocksteady in TMNT 2.
Inspired casting, I'll say. That's a little terrible.
So, what I loved about this match is that Daniel Bryan was there to present to whoever won. I love that they're giving Ryback this push. I think it's going to be refreshing for us watching Raw because, like I said a second ago, the night after Elimination Chamber's Raw, you had Big Show come out, and basically they're going to start a feud between Ryback and Big Show. And I think that's the coolest thing for Big Show because I hate the storylines when they put him as essentially the literal heel for the authority, the literal authority punching bag. Like, you don't do that. Like, the whole storyline a few years ago about him working for the authority because he's broke and him crying to Stephanie McMahon on... I hate when they make the Big Show the crybaby. I absolutely cannot fuck it. He's better than that. Do something more interesting. And I think this whole Ryback feud thing that they're looking like it's going to start, I think that's going to be really cool.
I like the fact that they are giving Ryback a push, because it seems like he's legitimately paid his dues for a while now, although I've heard rumors that he's unsafe to work with, because there's been a few people that have been hurt by him. There was one moment in that match, though, and I was so hoping it was real, it's when Sheamus's pod wouldn't open, because there was, like, I guess he just sold it really well, but there was a look of genuine panic on some of their faces, like, oh my god, is that cage really stuck? That was freaking great. But then again, you see how easily those windows come out of the pods?
Yeah.
Like, one good brogue kick and they're done.
I mean, hell, what's his name from Lucha Dragons? He had his foot caught in the fucking thing half the tag.
Oh, yeah, Kalisto or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this one, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible. But the thing is about the Intercontinental Belt, and I've noticed this over the last year, it's almost bad luck. Because you go on this huge losing streak, Mm-hmm. And it's bad luck. I mean, look what happened to Daniel Bryan after he got it.
Yeah. That's one example. Happened to Barrett.
So maybe Ryback can break the curse of the white belt, I guess. But I don't know, man.
I don't know. When Barrett had the title, when Barrett had the Intercontinental,
he was a loser.
To me, well, yeah, but see, for me, the U.S. belt needs to be someone who is from the United States. Doesn't have to be John Cena. It could be Dolph Ziggler. It could be, hell, it could be Tyson Kidd, although I would never want to see it. I'm just saying, it has to.
North America, basically.
It has to be America based. The Intercontinental belt could be anybody. It could be Sheamus. It could be Barrett. It could be Ziggler. It could be whoever. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But I prefer the Intercontinental belt to be on someone like Barrett or Sheamus or someone like that because they are from England and Ireland and all that.
On a guy from North America says we're the best in the world.
Yeah, true.
Which that's kind of what I liked about having Rusev hold the U.S. title for so long because, again, he's basically spitting in the face of America, and that kind of makes it more interesting. Yeah. Although that storyline, I guess, as a final thought, it wasn't handled terribly, but it just got stale really quick.
Yeah.
With this one, I can't. It was okay. I enjoyed the match for what it was. I can't think of anything that really kind of sticks out other than the pod door thing. But it was good. Like I said, I enjoyed it. And the fact that when Daniel Bryan handed over the belt to Ryback, that was genuine thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ryback, he gave this speech at the end of last year on Raw. Mm-hmm. I respect him 10 times more because I think despite him being portrayed as this big hulking of a guy, I really think he's a bit of a sentimental softy type. Like, he respects where he's come from and where he's going. Absolutely. I really get the sense that he's the type of guy, if he saw you on the side of the road and you had a flat tire, he'd help you. He's like that kind of guy. Yeah. And I did not expect that from him, especially in his old Rybacksel persona, because I saw him perform about a year ago at a Toronto house show, and he looked like such an asshole. But when he became a singles guy, things changed for Ryback, and I really hope this push does something.
Yeah, me too. All right, so the final match is the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. Before we get into this, you want to talk about a change in a personality for WWE? Roman Reigns, okay? Between this match and the Raw that happened the night after Elimination Chamber, since Roman came into the WWE when he was originally with the Shield and now he's on his own, I have never seen him smile or interact with the foot. Like, when he's coming down the stairs, okay, when he's coming out of the crowd, you always see people with their hands out or, you know, that kind of thing. He's never acknowledged them.
I think because
until now, he did this when he left the ring on Raw and when he left the ring in Elimination Chamber. Like, he finally acknowledges the fans, like, just in passing. He doesn't have to address the fans like John Cena does or anybody else does. But, like, I like that now that his character is kind of becoming not necessarily a hero character, but you know what I mean? It's not just, Mr. Grumpy Pants.
Yeah, I can see coming down the ramp, or sort of coming down through the crowd, why he doesn't, because it's supposed to be all business once the match is done. Depending on what happens. Yeah, I can see that. Because I guess they want him to be this, I have one goal and I must go in there to destroy this dude.
Would you say, and I know this is probably going to piss off TV's Mr. Neal, would you say that Roman Reigns is this era's Batista?
I think he's probably one of the closer guys to it. I mean, I think he's getting better. He's gotten a lot better since WrestleMania. A lot better since the Royal Rumble, that's for sure. Is he ready to be a super main headliner? Not yet, but he's getting there. Yeah. He's a lot better on mic now. He seems a lot better when he cuts promos and is part of the backstage stuff. One thing I don't like about Roman Reigns, and it's such a petty thing.
You don't like his hair?
I hate his new logo. It looks like a fucking Spider-Man thing. And just it doesn't seem as cool as his old flak jacket. I think that looked cool. It looked badass. He looked like Mr. Military. I'm here to kick ass and take names. This one, he looks like a goofy second-rate superhero.
So we got this match. It's Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. Overall, the match was damn good.
Yeah, it was good. It was entertaining.
Up until the point, now I know the entire arena is mic'd. I know that the wrestlers at some point or somewhere on their bodies they have mics or something had like in
they've
the
got shotgun arena. Mics pointed at them.
Okay, because what I'm wondering here is, can they hear the announcers? Can when you're in the ring during a match, doesn't matter if it's Elimination Chamber or Raw or whatever, can they hear what the announcers are saying? Because
it's funny you mention that, because during that match, Blair said this to me. She's like, "Hey, Mike, what's that little black thing?" And it looked like an earpiece, like a wireless earpiece. Mm-hmm. So, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure the refs can hear what the announcers are saying, because that's why whenever someone gets knocked down, you can see the ref going over to say something to the wrestlers to keep them informed of how much time's left and what's kind of going on. But I don't think they themselves wear earpieces, but I don't know.
Because the reason why I ask this is because if Seth could have heard Jerry say, "Seth, no, 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 no," what happened in this match would have never fucking happened. Never fucking happened. So Dean Ambrose goes up and does his move off the top rope. As he's coming down off the top rope, his feet basically kick the ref in the head and knock him out of the ring because he misjudged how far to jump or whatever it was. And the ref is out. A new ref comes down. Dean's like, "Okay, I got it. I'm the new champion. Yay." Everybody's like, "Yay, Dean Ambrose. No more Seth Rollins is champion," which absolutely makes me ecstatic.
I was hoping he would, like, I was hoping that'd be like a legit clean win.
Yeah, I was too. I was really hoping, because I cannot stand Seth Rollins. And come to find out, we go to the Major League Baseball National Football League player review.
Yeah, that was such bullshit.
Where the refs have to discuss and explain and blah, blah, blah. And Dean Ambrose wins the match by disqualification, but because he won by disqualification, it doesn't count that he doesn't get the title, but he got the title anyway because the little fucker stole it.
Although having this start off as a belt stealing thing, it's gonna end up friggin' stupid. I really hope they find a way to legit take the belt off Seth, because here's my thing with Seth Rollins of late. When he was Mr. Money in the Bank, all right, cool. When he had the belt legitimately for the first month or so after WrestleMania, I was okay with it. But do you realize every single time that belt comes in the question, Kane interferes, J&J interferes. It's like my friend Noah said it best. It's like nobody explained it to Seth Rollins. You know, you're going to have to wrestle to defend this thing once in a while, right? And he's like, "Well, nobody told me that." You know what I mean? It comes off as if he's fucking clueless. And that's the thing, though. Like, I like Seth Rollins. I think he's a great heel. And it wasn't until last night's Raw where he's like, no. "I'm going to defend this myself against him. Fuck you guys. I don't need you anymore." And I'm finally glad they're dropping this.
Well, I like that Seth is finally gotten to the point where he is so agitated, he is so he is essentially a second lunatic fringe at this point because of how Dean has kind of built him up and really agitated. Yeah. Got him pissed. Like, I love how he's essentially not thinking. I love how he's essentially saying, fuck you guys, I'm going to do this on my own. Let's do it at Money in the Bank. And there you go.
And I like how it's going to be a ladder match. Like, this way there can be no question who has it near you.
Absolutely.
I think that's going to be great. I mean, honestly, Money in the Bank is shaping up to be pretty good so far. Although last night's Raw having here Roman Reigns go through a gauntlet of guys because reasons.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, the gauntlet of guys with Roman Reigns, like, after the main event here with Ambrose stealing the belt and Reigns coming down and helping out and Superman punching everybody in sight, the first thing I thought of is, if you're not going to put the belt on either one of these guys, if you're going to keep Seth Rollins as the championship, you know what would really bring prestige back to the tag team division?
What?
Ambrose and Reigns in the tag division. They would dominate all the other teams. It would be so awesome.
That's the thing, though. It would, but it would overshadow everybody else.
I know.
Which I think, honestly, out of the tag team division, the two teams that deserve a push, Tyson and Cesaro really do. They work great together. But they have no identity. Nope. I mean, they're using Cesaro's old theme music, and they get some new ring gear, which for some reason, I think it was at Extreme Rules, Cesaro looked like he came off Saints Row 3 or something.
And this one, in Elimination Chamber, he looked like he was a friggin'... He looked like it was the villain from Iron Man 1.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Like, what's with the face mask? Like, what the fuck? I don't know. Somebody in costuming needs to have a conversation with someone in Hollywood.
Sandra, because I know Sandra from watching Total Divas. Yeah. Sandra in costuming really needs to have a talk with Mark Carano.
Yeah, like, guys, can we get something that doesn't look stupid? Like, I don't know. Like, and that's the other thing, too. With Natalya looks like a rejected X-Men villain from the 80s. Doesn't look, I mean, she's hot in that leather, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
y'all look like a geth, like some goth vampire thing, I don't know. But overall, though, Elimination Chamber surprised me more than I thought it would. I didn't think it'd be this good. It's better than Payback.
Yep.
Steps above
Extreme Rules,
and not too far below WrestleMania, all things considered.
We've got too many coming up for me to say.
Well, I'm surprised just how quick. I mean, it seems like there's a new pay-per-view every 2 weeks.
There is at this point.
Yeah,
I mean,
but say, when the fuck is Battleground going to be now? I mean, at this rate, SummerSlam should be in, what, July? I'll look it up on my phone, but I can't. Dead. They're just coming like this, which is kind of cool because it keeps the momentum going. It keeps me excited. It keeps me engaged. Like, Elimination Chamber is the pay-per-view that brought me back in. Because, like I said to you before, I have barely watched SmackDown and Raw this month. Because I just don't give a fuck. The storytelling is just not there. But now we have this great thing with Kevin Owens, this cool thing with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Even the tag team division, I'm starting to care about again. So, I don't know. I mean, it's better than it should be. Hopefully they can keep it going. But this is WWE. You know they're going to find some way to fuck it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I went over to... I went and did a search for the list of the pay-per-view this year. I'm over on Bleacher Report here. Okay, Royal Rumble was January 25th. Fastlane was February 22nd. So 4 weeks, I guess, roughly?
Yeah, about a month.
Between Fastlane and WrestleMania, it was about a month. Between WrestleMania and Extreme Rules, it was about a month. Extreme Rules to Payback, a little less than a month.
3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Money in the Bank to, or Payback to, wait, where is Elimination Chamber? Did they add that in?
Yes, because that was supposed to be a house show.
Okay, so Elimination Chamber was this past Sunday, right? Yeah. It was the 30, it was May 31st.
And then
okay,
Payback
so,
was on yeah. the 17th.
Payback was on the 17th. So you got Payback on the 17th, Elimination Chamber on the 31st. So you have two pay-per-views in 1 month there. And then they go back to June 14th is Money in the Bank.
2 weeks, more or less, from tonight.
Right. July 19th is Battleground.
Okay, so that is about a month away, though. Okay, good.
Uh-huh. August 23rd is SummerSlam. September 20th is Night of Champions. October 25th is Hell in a Cell. November 22nd is Survivor Series. And TLC is December 13th.
Wow, they're actually going to get some good time off this year. As opposed to like, hey, it's December 23rd. Go out there and kick the crap out of each other. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of it's kind of exciting to have everything kind of build up, though. I really hope this year's Battleground doesn't suck, though, because last year's was so boring. Nothing happened. Nothing of any consequence happened. Mm. You know, that I was actually just thinking about this. You know how we talked about Bray Wyatt? I can't remember the last time I saw Luke Harper or Eric Rowan. It's been a while.
It's been a while. And I just saw Bray. Wasn't it on Raw this past week?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, because I thought he was going to be in the pay-per-view somewhere. Like, I thought he was going to be in the Intercontinental thing or whatever else. Or, you know, but, like, just... My whole thing with Bray Wyatt is I can't stand his promos.
I can't stand love him because he's so good at them.
I mean, he's good at them. I'm not saying the man's not. I just don't like that style and that, like, the whole when he had his feud with Cena about he's got the whole. I was like, oh my god, what is this? Is not a WWE show. It just can't be.
I don't know. He didn't have his like creepy hologram kid this time, or his magic genie lantern hologram.
Oh, God. Okay, so let me ask you this, since we're talking about this, and we're going to wrap this up here in a few minutes, folks, but let me ask you this. Now, I know no one is ever going to live up to The Undertaker, so please, listeners, do not think I'm trying to say that Bray Wyatt would live up to this, but with the way that Bray Wyatt's music is and the way that he has his messages, would you say he's somewhat but not really similar to the way The Undertaker has his
music? I'm into that kind of vein. The thing is, though, the fact that he doesn't have the Wyatt family with him, I think really hurts him as a character.
Right.
Because he needs to have a cult. And so I think this was brought up. There's another podcast done by Steven Larson called Going in Raw. And I think they mentioned they should have Bo Dallas. Well, because you think about it.
Bo's not doing anything else.
Well, they're brothers for one in real life. They both have a similar message. Bray Wyatt wants you to believe in what he says. And what does Bo Dallas do? Believe, right?
So basically what you're saying is believe in Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, well, think about that. I mean, if you could have Bray Wyatt corrupt someone, and this is something I said like a while ago. Imagine if he could turn someone like Dean Ambrose into like this uncaged animal. Like, literally
they
make
tried
him lose
that.
Control.
It didn't work. Yeah, but they tried that. It didn't work.
Well, yeah, because the writers suck. But that could have been awesome. Because Bray Wyatt needs followers to be effective.
Right.
And I think the whole creepy cult, having him be the new face of fear is cool, but you don't have anybody with him to draw that fear out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I really, like, that's one of the best characters they've got in their roster right now. But nobody there knows how to write him as good as The Undertaker. And not everything The Undertaker's done has been gold either.
Well, right, but see, here's the thing. The reason why I brought this whole thing up with The Undertaker is, and I know they'll never do this because I know they need him. I know they need Bray being the face of fear. What if they 90s'd Bray Wyatt and made him the American Badass?
I'm trying to think what they could do to him next to make him ridiculous. I don't know, maybe they'll turn him into, like, Papa Shango or something.
Oh, God. Like, I know the 90s American badass thing for Undertaker was not a very popular thing, but I loved it. I thought it was a nice departure from what we had for so long.
Well, it was certainly scarier than the Undertaker's hat. If you really break it down, that's what the Undertaker was. He was a hat and scary music.
I think what's scarier is when the Undertaker doesn't wear his hat and he pops up from he pops up in the ring and he just looks over the cold, steely eye. Because I swear, in the ring when he does his whole thing with his eyes, I really think the dude is cross-eyed or something. Because yeah, possessed. We can go with that. Because at a few points with The Undertaker, one eye will be looking all the way over in that direction, the other eye will be looking all the way over in that direction. Like,
I just had a thought. I know who would be fucking fantastic to bring in to the Wyatt family as sort of an enforcer for, like, Bray Wyatt. There's a guy in NXT, Finn Balor, and he dresses, he comes out in this body paint, looks like a fucking demon. There was one thing he used to do. He looked like Venom, and then he did one as Carnage from Marvel. And he looked so fucking cool. There was one match he did against the Ascension in, like, NXT that I saw, and it looks like he's literally crawling out of, like, some hell mouth. And you're like, holy shit. And they look legit like, oh my god, what the fuck is this? If you could have Bray Wyatt command Finn Balor, like, some hellhound or something, that could be really awesome. Probably won't happen, but, you know, because, you know, they don't want to listen to us. But, you know, still, regardless, they can have some really amazing things going down if they wanted to. There are so many missed opportunities right now with a lot of the roster that just isn't doing anything.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Like, I want to know what's happening, as we mentioned. Where's Heath Slater? Where's Jack Swagger?
Heath Slater was
older. I don't think I've seen him on TV in like 3 months.
No. Well, the whole thing with Heath Slater is he tried showing up. He tried doing the U.S. Championship challenge, but no one would ever let him do it.
Oh, God, no.
Well, no, what I'm saying is when he would go out there, somebody better would come out there and basically just knock him to the ground and say, nope, kid, sorry. Nope, you're not doing it.
That's kind of funny.
No. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for this one. We will be back for Money in the Bank, because that's a huge match.
That pretty much sets up the year's storyline.
Yeah, pretty much. So we'll be back for that. We're going to have other Geekcast Radio episodes, and I'm sure you're putting out a whole bunch of other stuff on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else we want to bring up before we get out of here?
No, folks, if you're not watching NXT, do it. It's a fantastic, great thing. Check out Lucha Underground. I'm hearing a lot of really good things about it. And support your local wrestling scene. If you see indie shows, go. Sometimes they're really, really good. And if you get a chance to go to a WWE house show, it's a fantastic experience. And it's worth paying the $100. That's typically what I play to be pretty much ringside. It's totally worth it, and it's just like a pay-per-view, and they can even get nuttier than pay-per-view because they're not on camera. So have fun with this sport. It can be a lot of fun.
You need to do what you did for comic book men. You need to go to you need to go to a live Raw that's going to air, and you need to be in the front row to see if you can get into some storyline. Kind of the way I see it at this point is you're essentially, and I know you're not this, but the way I'm envisioning you being there is you're like what happened to John Cena's father when they pulled him out of the audience.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, someone can kick the shit out of me. Honestly, I want Stardust to kick the shit out of me. Before we go.
We gotta talk about Arrow versus Stardust, because what the fuck? Stephen Amell versus Cody Rhodes. Like, seriously.
I hope for Ninja Turtles 2, they find a way to have him and Sheamus do something. like have Rocksteady versus fucking Casey Jones or some shit like that. That could be so cool. But no, what I wanted to mention during Elimination Chamber, speaking of the front row, there was one fan who would just, this obnoxious fuck, this goofy looking kid in a Boston Bruins jersey. Yellow, obnoxious, piss yellow guy. And I don't know what any of his signs are. It's like he was passing Illuminati messages back and forth or something. And he just would just stare at you. Like, seriously, go back and watch some of those matches and just pay attention to this kid. So awkward. He's weird. I don't know. Probably works for the government. Either way, he freaks me out.
Probably does. All right, folks. That's going to do it for us. Unleash the geek in you. Lower your shield. Surrender your listenership. All that good stuff. We will catch you next time here on GeekCast Radio Network and ThisWeekInGeek.net.
World champion. He said he was going to do it. Kevin Owens did it. And we have breaking news now. This just in, that in 2 weeks at the Money in the Bank event, live on the WWE Network from Columbus, Ohio, the rematch.
What?
John Cena versus Kevin Owens.
Oh my gosh, they're going to do it again?
I want to see more. I thought it was incredible.
And of course, at the Money in the Bank event, we also have the Money in the Bank ladder match. Who will become Mr. Money in the Bank this year? We can tell you that, well, part of the field is already set. Six men: Dolph Ziggler, Neville, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus will all vie for the opportunity to become Mr. Money in the Bank. The Money in the Bank event takes place in Columbus, Ohio, 2 weeks from tonight. And gentlemen, we all know what winning the Money in the Bank contract means.
Yeah, that is one of the most star-studded Money in the Bank matches we have ever seen. It virtually guarantees you the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
You can cash it in anytime, any place. That's up to you. And like you said, you're almost guaranteed to be the next champion.
And again, we do want to just reiterate that is not all the participants who will be a part of that matchup, just the six that have been named so far.
That six is pretty good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, it is our main event. It is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins, set to take on the Lunatic Fringe, Dean Ambrose. For Dean Ambrose, it's about settling serious bad blood with his former brother from the Shield.
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.